Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Unbody. With me is Matt Bruni. We are going to break down the LSU-McNeese State matchup, one that certainly should be lopsided in the Tigers' way on the scoreboard. But after the game against UCLA, LSU does have a lot to clean up. And so we'll be working through that. As we preview this one, and the Tigers are going to be working through their kinks as they play the Cowboys in Tiger Stadium at 7 o'clock. LSU has already gone through the Ed Ogeron press conference, practice availability for the first time since August. So we've got a lot to go over. And Matt, you were out at practice on Tuesday. Anything jump out at you right off the bat from that brief amount of time you got to see the Tigers?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's about, 10, 12, 15 minutes, somewhere around there. And so it's always interesting trying to get to see everybody. I tried taking photos for the first time, so it was a lot of different things going on. But I did try to lock in on the offensive line, and I have it in my notes here, and I also put it in the VIP notes that I wrote up afterwards. And the offensive line from left tackle to right tackle, obviously, this isn't like solidified or anything, but this is the five that were out there. Was Xavier Hill at left tackle, Ed Ingram at left guard, Liam Shanahan center, Marlon Martinez right guard, and Charles Turner at right tackle. So that was the first thing to me that caught my eye. And I think, you know, we'll be talking about the offensive line and whatnot. And you and Shea talked about them at length on the last podcast. But I thought that was a really interesting thing to me, because we know that Cam Wire and Austin Deculus, the two tackles, will be out. And so how are they going to plug in pieces to fill in for them? How are they going to look? You know, I think everybody's just trying to get a handle on this offensive line as after last week. So that was the first thing that stuck out to me. And then, you know, everything else, you know, as you know, it's a lot of rudimentary stuff going on with quarterbacks, receivers, running backs. Saw a little bit of Trey Bradford out there. He looked, you know, fine. It wasn't like it was anything explosive that he was being asked to do, but he was out there. And then, you know, the defense looked like they were focusing on tackling from what I could tell. So that's, I guess, a promising sign.
Yeah. The offensive line is going to be interesting this weekend. You know, I don't think McNeese State, and we're going to talk about them a little bit and what they did this spring. And of course, their first week of 2021, they go 0-1 against Division II West Florida, right down the road from where my grandparents live. But, you know, it's something where LSU's got to find some answers. And I think you nailed it in the roundtable questions, which we'll kind of touch on later as well. But, you know, not too much to probably glean from this game as far as how LSU's going to clean some things up. But the offensive line is one that I'm watching. You know, how do these young guys, if they see action, look? How does the overall rotation on the offensive line look? How can they find some answers? Maybe, or some confidence to build moving into Central Michigan and then Mississippi State. You know, as far as building confidence, yeah, McNeese State is going to be wanting to do some of that. I don't know how they're going to do that, having to deal with LSU's defensive line that got after Dorian Thompson-Robinson a little bit. But they went 3-4 in the spring, 0-1 on the year, lost 42-36 to West Florida. Cody Ogeron, big storyline this year or this week. Son of Ed Ogeron, went 30 of 48 for 361 yards, two touchdowns, and no interceptions. This McNeese State defense, Isaiah Chambers, a familiar name for myself and probably you as well. He's an FCS All-American. They run that 4-2-5. Max Johnson needs to, you know, find a lot of his secondary receivers. We know what Kayshon Boutte can do. To do that, though, he's going to need protection.
Yeah, the big thing going into the week was a lot of Jake Peets and trying to figure out how the play calling was going to work, how they were going to combat pressure, not just this week and not just next week in Central Michigan, but, you know, moving forward throughout SEC play, you know, will they spread it out? Will they max protect? Coach Orgeron on the Wednesday radio show, Coach Orgeron show, said that they are prioritizing that above all else. Basically, you know, they don't care about anything else. They need to protect the quarterback. So he said, whether that's bringing in more guys to block and, you know, having less receivers on the field, they'll do that if they have to, whatever it takes. They basically said that's the priority. And as we saw, I mean, obviously bringing only having five and keeping in a running back didn't work because the communication. So it doesn't matter how many you have in to block. If the communication is not on the same page, it's not going to work regardless. And that's really the big thing for me, because it's not like UCLA was every time was bringing 7-on-6. Like, it's not like it was outnumbered every time. A lot of times they were only bringing 4 or 5 and LSU couldn't pick it up. And so to me, it's not just about, oh, okay, we have to have more guys than blocking. No, you have to have the right guys blocking and you have to have the guys on the same page. So that's good. Like you said, even though I am a pessimist when it comes to FCS games and what you can take from them, getting the guys on the same page and having these reps, even if the two tackles are going to be out, is going to be very, very important for this team. Another thing is we heard from Ed Ingram during the player interviews, and he said that they were kind of tired. They got nicked up, a little out of shape there. And that made some waves on our message boards. And that is a very concerning thing as well, because you're at this point where, like we've said, y'all are a bunch of seniors. You should know what it takes. You should be in shape to play, especially coming off of last year. So now coming into this year where you have the same problems again, where they're having to rotate in 8 offensive linemen against UCLA in the first game of the season, it's just not a good look. So, you know, maybe this game will give them a little bit more conditioning as well. It's just such a big point of emphasis going into this week and going into this season that it's just hard not to focus on it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that was a pretty revealing comment. And I will say, you know, Ed Ingram did say that, you know, the guys aren't turning on each other, revealed that they basically did last year after the Mississippi State game, which, you know, we had kind of heard that the locker room was divided even going into the season, just with all the offseason stuff. But, you know, this is a team that at least you hope sticks together. They've got 2 weeks to really kind of build confidence before SEC play. And for, you know, the defense, you want to see the back 7 have a much better showing. They're going to face an RPO offense. You know, they're balanced, but they've got some spread elements to them, which LSU struggled against UCLA. They're probably going to be in a good situation athletically to defend this McNeese State attack, you'd hope. I want to see the secondary and specifically the safeties bounce back, which they'll probably be without Jay Ward again.
Yeah, that's a big thing, is how are they going to play without Jay Ward? Because without Jay Ward, they looked pretty lost against UCLA. So, you know, Todd Harris, Major Burns, I thought both of them played pretty poorly as last week. So getting them comfortable, hopefully Jay Ward is back for next week's game, but those two are going to be real important. We didn't see UCLA test Eli Ricks and Derek Stingley much, except for the play Stingley got beat on late. And Eli Ricks' interception, where he was kind of playing a zone coverage there, kind of a robber type coverage. But outside of that, we didn't see too much with them. So I don't anticipate McNeese throwing at them very much, which again, will put pressure on the linebackers and safeties, which were such a big problem last week. So, you know, it's going to be like a basic version of whether it's what UCLA runs or what a lot of spread offenses run. So it shouldn't be too much to handle. And hopefully they can just let their athleticism just go out there and dominate.
Yeah, and we've kind of broken into the preview part of this podcast. And before we jump to the keys to the game for the offense and the defense and get to a couple roundtable questions before we head into predictions, we're going to head into a quick break from the Go 24/7 podcast. We'll be right back after this with that full breakdown.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. Quick reminder, guys, to leave us a follow, leave us a rating, leave us a review wherever you catch your podcast at. Heading into the offensive side of this preview, we kind of have talked about it a lot on the board and in the kind of reaction still from the UCLA game. But, you know, a key for this game offensively, you know, not only to winning it, but just overall, I kind of mentioned it. For me, my key is wanting to see the offensive line step up and play a clean game. No busts, no broken protections. We'll see what this McNeese State defense will bring at them as far as blitzes. You know, I think if you're trying to defend this LSU offense this year, bringing some heat is the way to go if UCLA showed them anything. Yep. And I think we're going to see McNeese State come after this LSU offense. So how the offensive line handles those protections and those calls with new faces and a rotation and all of those things are really what I'm watching this weekend.
Yeah, it's what you kind of have to do, especially with the receivers. I mean, just Kayshon Boutte alone, you don't want to let his route develop in the secondary there. So that's one thing UCLA basically took away outside of the touchdown, which was basically zero blitz. I think McNeese is going to, like you said, bring some pressure. So it's going to be blitz pickup. It's going to be Max Johnson stepping up into the pocket this week, as opposed to drifting and falling back and throwing off his back foot. Albeit, I think that one touchdown or that one throw to the end zone he had with Trey Palmer that was behind Trey Palmer was off his back foot, and he just kept drifting back. And you're like, all right, at some point, step up in the pocket, you know, give your blockers a little bit of help there. That's one thing I'm really going to be looking for is Max Johnson getting comfortable, whether it's against pressure or just as the routes develop down the field. So that's a key for me is Max Johnson being comfortable, not turning the ball over and stepping up into the pocket and not being afraid and trusting his offensive linemen, because that's what you have to do at the end of the day. If they come, you know, if they shed their blocks on the inside and get you, then that's on the offensive linemen. But if you keep drifting back 10, 15 yards behind the line of scrimmage, then it's just really hard for the tackles. And so there was enough blame to go around last week, but I'm interested to see how Max Johnson steps forward and improves.
Yeah, that's going to be key. And, you know, assembling some sort of run game, you know, that's the big thing too, is I want to see Pete's play calling get more creative, which kind of drew some heat a little bit from Ed Ogeron when he was talking to the media. He said that they fixed the run game in terms of running outside a little bit more, creating some different looks in the run game and going back to a more diverse set of plays being called. That's something that I'm watching for on Pete's play calling.
Yeah. Coach O is a really upfront coach as far as speaking to the media or just doing interviews. And for me, obviously this is my first year cover team, so I'm not completely used to it. So when I hear that, and he basically said that when UCLA started bringing down linebackers and showing different fronts, that really aggressive fronts, it basically really caused them to shrink their run scheme. And hearing that was just like, I felt like UCLA did a lot of similar things they did against Hawaii to LSU. So that was alarming to me as just someone watching the games. As an offense, you should be kind of prepared for what UCLA was going to do there. So I need to see what Pete has up his sleeve, because obviously we haven't seen anything of what they are supposedly supposed to have as far as the run game is concerned. So I'm still a pessimist. I know we were both kind of around like the four range when we talked about this last podcast entering the season. But do we both believe that the play calling is going to make a significant difference? I'm not 100% sure, but you have to try something, right? At the end of the day, you got to try.
Yeah, and they've got the guys, you know, against McNeese State to do all of this and to make it a reality. It's doing it against the SEC teams that, you know, we'll eventually find out about. You know, the passing game, we talked about Max Johnson being more consistent. They need to let these younger receivers probably get their feet wet even more this week. You know, they're not going to have Malik Nabers, but Deion Smith will probably be able to play from kind of what he posted on Instagram as far as him not being able to play week one. Brian Thomas Jr., they need to let him loose a little bit more. Jack Besh, same thing with him. And Ed Ogeron agreed when we talked with him on Tuesday. And those are a couple of the guys that I want to see get some burn. Chris Hilton as well. That'll be important in the, you know, passing game as far as letting some of these young guys get some run.
Yeah. Do we know if John Trey Kirkland is going to be back?
He is out for this game. That's a good time to kind of bring up some of the guys that are going to be out. John Trey Kirkland's going to be out. John Emery's going to be out most likely. Ed Ogeron didn't seem too optimistic when he was saying he will need, you know, until Friday to really know. You mentioned, Cam Wire, Austin Deculus are out. So they'll and Armani Goodwin is still out. So Corey Kiner is going to get some burn here this weekend from what I would imagine as well.
Yeah. You bring up Jack Besh, and I'm going to one game into the season and one catch into the season, I'm going to take credit for calling him my sleeper pick before the season. I love Jack Besh, man. I was out at practice yesterday. He's one of the names I forgot. Once I finished going through the players I saw at practice, I completely forgot Jack Besh, man. He's a receiver. He is a receiver, and I would love to see them give him more run there. So he's a name I'm going to be looking forward to seeing more of in the pass game, especially with Kirkland out and without some offensive linemen. I think they can plug him in at different places there. But that the pass game is just, like I said earlier, it's going to be interesting to see how Max Johnson plays and if he can continue to find different receivers, because that's one thing he did do a lot of last week was they played a lot of receivers and he found a lot of different receivers. So how is he going to balance that? Finding different receivers and finding Kayshon Boutte, it's going to be interesting moving forward to see how he balances that. Or if he just starts just throwing to Boutte every single time, you know,
maybe. Yeah, not a bad option to throw to Boutte every single time. I will say you wanted Jack Besh to get some run in the UCLA game, and he did early. And then, you know, from there didn't get the ball, you know, quite enough. He is that matchup mismatch that we, you know, thought he'd be, you know, being that big wide receiver, kind of a tight end though, flexed out. He got open at times, and then UCLA kind of, I think in a way, you know, reacted to it. And then on top of that, he just didn't see many targets after that. So, you know, I think he's somebody they've got to get involved in. You know, again, as you go into SEC play, we'll see if he can get open against some of these SEC linebackers and however they match up or safeties. But, you know, game one, him and Brian Thomas got to see more. And on defense, you know, you look at things that LSU can get better at, and it's a combination of things, right? It's the crossing routes. Can they fix the things that have plagued them now for well over a year and actually fix them this year with a new defensive coordinator? You know, Bo Pelini had a lot of issues, of course, which we know about it, and it was scheme related. But game one, Durante Jones gets picked apart with the crossing routes. You know, they couldn't stop the run. Tackling was an issue. The safety play left something to be desired. So I think, you know, in terms of a key, I want to see those units improve and get on the right side of things and start to build some confidence, because one game down and, you know, they're already being dogged, and, you know, rightfully so to an extent.
Yeah. Shea brought up a great point last podcast. I mean, you know, you brought up some decent points too throughout the podcast, but Shea's point of, it felt like just game 11, a continuation of last year. It was just so true. It just felt like the exact same thing as we saw last year, pretty much. And so the one thing I'm going to focus on defensively that I really, really want to see, that we saw flashes against UCLA, is I want to see this defense line just dominate as far as the pass rush goes. I don't want Cody Orgeron to have more than 2 seconds back there comfortable, like maybe a second and a half. Like, I want to see this defense line really start to play well and really just dominate that game from a pass rush perspective. And then obviously, you know, we'll get into the run defense as well, which needs to be much better.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the run defense. That's an obvious flaw. How do you fix that? I mean, is it as simple as tackling? Is it getting better into the scheme? I mean, you know, Damone Clark had his issues. Micah Baskerville had his issues, but it just seemed like the linebackers overall had a rough game. And then the safeties, once Jay Ward left, just really struggled.
Yeah, you brought up a good point on the round table of just playing some safeties down there at linebacker, just add, I mean, maybe add some speed, maybe add some vision. But Glenn Logan being out shouldn't have hurt as much as I feel like it did against UCLA. Like, I might be maybe overstating a little bit, but I feel like they just were beat in the middle pretty much, except, and I'm going to repeat myself whenever we continue to just talk about players that are going to step up and young players. I think Mason Smith was really good, especially in the pass rush. I think Mason Smith really ate up some blocks consistently. And I would like to see him a lot more. I think Neil Farrell did a pretty good job as well, but it's just like that depth that we expect that defense to tackle took a pretty big hit when Glenn Logan went down. And even though we just expected everybody just to kind of step up and not be a big deal, the defensive tackle was really disappointing me as far as the run game is concerned. And then the defensive ends, there were times where they didn't set the edge at all. They were getting pushed out of the way too easily. And albeit, I didn't think the linebackers played well at all, but it doesn't make it much easier when you don't get that help from the defensive line. So it was just a combination of issues, as you can tell, just when if you just look at the box score and UCLA rushes for over 200 yards. It was a culmination of issues. I don't know. And like I've said before, I don't know if what I see from McNeese State defensively is going to make me feel better. It's going to probably be Central Michigan. I don't even know, you know, Mississippi State doesn't run the ball too much, but you know what I mean? It's going to get into SEC plays where we're really going to have to see this team and be able to evaluate this team's run defense, because at the moment I can't pick out really anybody in the front six that I'm like, okay, that guy's doing his job every single play. And just when I went back and watched film, it's just like, this guy's getting pushed around. This guy's getting pushed around. So McNeese won't be UCLA, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. And like you said, starting somewhere would be, you know, playing a really clean, efficient, sound game against, quite honestly, an inferior opponent, which we all know. As we kind of get into some of the roundtable questions we talked about, how does LSU kind of quell the heat, you know, or can they with a win this weekend?
I was a pessimist on the round table. I guess spoiler for those who haven't read it, check it out on the site. I'm just at this point in my career, I covered North Texas the past 4 years, and you know, seeing them beat up on FCS teams just to go lose to SMU by 30, I think I'm scarred from that. And so I don't know if there's much I can see from this team except for the obvious, like keep everybody disciplined, keep everybody healthy. Just don't execute what you need to execute, complete easy throws, make easy plays, and get after it on the defensive line. If I see that, then I'm leaving the game like, okay, they've at least started the process of taking the necessary steps forward, because that's what it's going to come down to, is it's going to be a process. It's not going to be, all right, Central Michigan's here, they play their best game of the season. No, it's going to be McNeese State, Central Michigan, Mississippi State. And then you get, I mean, Mississippi State's not going to be a walkover. I'm not going to make it sound like that's going to be an easy game by any stretch, but you know, it's going to be a process. And then you get into the meat of the SEC, and that's where you're going to have to hit their stride. So I'm not expecting it to be perfect, but if they have another game with clean penalties, not many penalties, and if they execute the way they should execute, then I will leave the game a little bit more comfortable than I was last week.
Yeah, I said, I mean, there's a way to kind of quell things, which is certainly winning and not playing with your food and just getting out there and dominating and honestly taking out the week of, you know, angst that the fan base, you know, took out on them, quite honestly, and, you know, putting together a strong game plan, showing some of the new things in the run game that you said you would and executing them well. The offensive line improving, you know, Max Johnson being efficient, no turnovers, All of those things that you should do against an FCS opponent, like you said, I think that'll quell things. And then people can kind of get back on the track of saying, okay, all right, now it's on to Central Michigan. You know, what's next? What's the next step of improvement? That's something that this team needs to show this weekend. And to do that, I think they need a dominating victory. I'm going to pick LSU to win 47-10. That's going to be my pick. What's your feeling on this one, Matt?
It's I'm going to pick LSU to win. It's funny. I mean, there hasn't been a spread put out on any betting site, which isn't unusual for an FBS FCS game. A lot of times there won't be one, especially if it would be that big. I've been debating in my head for a while. I'm not going to bore the listeners with just me thinking for a while. So I'm going to go out and say LSU 55, McNeese State 17. That's what I'll say, which is a similar scoreline to yours, I guess, just a touchdown more both ways. But hey, I think the LSU offense has a really fun day. That's what I'll say, a fun day. I think Max Johnson puts up great numbers, and Garrett Nussmeier lights it up as well.
And I'll add, I think we could see a special teams touchdown as well from LSU. I'm going to, you know, kind of make that bold right? prediction. You know, they tend to have a good track record of at least doing that in some of these, you know, FCS games. So I'm going to pick LSU to score a special teams touchdown as well and kind of get on the right track.
I'll see if I can find the odds for that in a book somewhere.
A good prop bet, which, by the way, shout out you. You know, you picked Tayshaun Boutte over on his receiving yards, I believe.
Yeah. I was thinking about during the game, but I didn't go back and look at all of our picks because I was just kind of, you know, internalizing, I think, that whole game. So I didn't even go back and look at our predictions.
Yeah, it wasn't a game to go back and tout that you picked Tayshaun Boutte to go over on the receiving yards while also LSU looking very subpar overall.
Yeah, no.
Well, no. Cool. Well, guys, thanks for listening to this edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. We'll check back with you after the game with more reaction on the site. And then again, a podcast later after the game to review it and share our thoughts as LSU looks to get back on the side of winning against McNeese State this weekend. So we'll have all your coverage from Tiger Stadium. So be sure to keep it locked on go247.com. Hope everybody has a great weekend getting a full stadium back in Tiger Stadium. Stay safe out there if you're tailgating or going to the game, and we'll catch you guys after. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Go 24/7 podcast.